Title: Filtered Spring Returns for Dub Realism, Advanced. Alright, in this lesson we're going to build filtered spring reverb returns in Ableton Live that feel like real dub hardware, but tuned for drum and bass. Fast tempo, lots of transients, heavy low end that must stay clean. The mindset shift is important. In D&B, spring reverb is not pretty space. It's character and motion. It's that bright, slightly nasty booing, the mid-range resonance, and the throw that happens for a moment, then gets out of the way so the groove keeps rolling. By the end, you'll have two dedicated return tracks. One is a tight, monoleaning spring throw for snares, rimshots, stabs, vocals, one-shots. The other is a wider, modulated spring wash for atmos, rides, jungle breaks, and transitions. Both will be filtered, saturated, and ducted so they don't smear your drums. Before we touch any effects, quick D&B sanity check. Your kick and snare should hit clean. Your sub should be controlled and basically mono, with no reverb, and give yourself headroom. If your master is peaking around -6 dBFS while you build, you'll make better decisions and your effects won't lie to you. Now let's build return A, the throw. Create a return track and rename it A, spring throw. Because it's a return, you want the chain itself 100% wet. All the dry signal stays on the source tracks. The return is pure effect. Here's the device order, and the order matters. We're shaping what goes in, then creating the spring, then shaping and controlling what comes out. First device, EQ8 as a pre-filter. Turn on a high-pass filter somewhere between 250 and 450 Hz. Start around 320. Use a steep slope, 24 or even 48 dB per octave. This is non-negotiable in drum and bass. If lows go into reverb, they don't just get louder, they get longer, and that steals space from your sub and kick instantly. If your spring is spitting harshness, add a gentle bell cut around 2.5 to 4.5k. Just a couple dB, medium Q. The goal is to prevent ice pick energy before it ever hits the tank. Second device, auto filter for character. Set it to band pass. Start the frequency around 1.4k, and generally live somewhere from 900 Hz up to about 2.2k. Add resonance, maybe 20 to 35%. And if your auto filter has drive, give it a little, like 2 to 6 dB. This band pass stage is doing a lot of the spring identity. Real spring tanks are mid-forward and slightly nasal in a good way. Optional, but varied effective. Turn on a subtle LFO on the filter frequency. Keep it tiny. Rate at 1/8 note or 1/4 note, with just a few percent amount. You're not making wobble, you're making life. Third device, hybrid reverb as the springish core. On the reverb side, choose a spring mode if you have it. If you don't, use something bright and short. Then we'll fake the tank with filtering and saturation. Set decay around 0.8 to 1.6 seconds. For 174 BPM, shorter is usually smarter. Add pre-delay, around 8 to 20 milliseconds, so the transient reads first and the spring feels like a response, not a blur. Keep size small to medium. If the top is fizzy, use damping or a high cut so it rolls off somewhere above 6 to 10k. And yes, set dry/wet to 100% wet. This is a return. Fourth device, saturator for tank grit. Springs distort in real life, especially on loud hits, and that distortion is a huge part of the realism. Use analog clip for a confident, hardware-ish bite, or soft sign if you want it smoother. Drive somewhere from 3 to 10 dB, soft clip on. Then trim the output so your return isn't jumping in level just because you added harmonics. Quick coaching note on gain staging. Spring realism happens when the input occasionally hits the non-linear stage. Aim for the signal going into the reverb to peak around -12 to -6 dB. Then on the loudest throws, let the saturation shave maybe 1 to 4 dB at the top. If different sources feed this return wildly, put a utility before the reverb as a trim so you're not constantly rebalancing your saturation behavior. Fifth device, gate after the reverb. This is a big one for D&B. We're shaping the tail, not the input. Set the threshold so the tail gets cut before it muddies your next hits. A starting range might be -30 to -20 dB, but you have to listen. Set hold around 30 to 80 milliseconds, return around 150 to 350 milliseconds, and a fast attack, maybe 0.3 to 2 milliseconds. The sound we want is spring as a punctuation mark. It pops, it rings, and then it leaves. You can always open it up later, but if you start too long, you'll fight your groove the whole time. Sixth device, compressor for sidechain ducking. Turn on sidechain and feed it from your kick, or your drum boss, or sometimes the snare. Ratio around 4 to 1. Attack 1 to 5 milliseconds, release 80 to 160 milliseconds, aim from AB 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction when the key hits. This keeps the spring audible, but it bows out of the way of the most important transients. Advanced tip: if you want consistent duck timing even when your drum programming changes, create a ghost trigger track. Literally a short click or muted rimshot pattern that hits where you want the duck to happen. Sidechain from that instead of the drums. It's clean, predictable, and it makes your return behave like an instrument. Seventh device. Utility. For this throw return, narrower tends to feel more authentic and more solid in a DNB mix. Try width at 0 to 60%. Springs often feel real when they're kind of mono-ish, because the source feels like a physical object in front of you, not a stereo cloud. At this point, return A is playable. It's not just an effect, it's an event generator. Now let's build return B, the wash. Create another return and rename it B, spring wash. Start with EQ 8 again. High pass a bit lower than the throw return, maybe 180 to 350 Hz, 24 dB per octave. If it's harsh, do a gentle high shelf down a couple dB above 9 to 12k. This wash can be wider and smoother, but it still must not touch your sub. Next, hybrid reverb again. This one is longer, decay around 1.6 to 3.2 seconds, pre-delay 15 to 30 milliseconds. Add some modulation, low to medium. You want movement, not seasick chorus, till 100% wet. Then add chorus ensemble for subtle width. Keep depth low, mix around 10 to 25%. Think halo, not detuned pad. Optional but classic, echo after the reverb. Just a little. Set time to dotted eighth or quarter. Feedback 10 to 25%. Filter inside echo. High pass around 300 Hz. Low pass around 6 to 9k. Modulation tiny. Dry slash wet 10 to 20%. This isn't a delay effect you notice. It's a little lick on the tail that makes it feel like a dub chain. Add your sidechain compressor again. Usually duck a bit less than return A, because this one can live behind the drums. Then finish with utility and go wider. 120 to 160% width. This is your stereo atmosphere tool. Now, the most important part, how to use these like a dub engineer. Dub realism comes from performance moves. If you just leave the send on all the time, it turns into mush. Instead, you create moments. Method 1 is the fastest. Automate the send knobs. On your snare track, bring send A up only on the last snare of a two bar phrase, or on fills, or on a vocal chop. For a touch, you might sit around minus 20 to minus 14 dB. For a real throw, go up to minus 10, minus 6, even minus 3 dB, but only for a moment. Method 2 is clip envelopes, especially clean for repeatable break edits. Open the clip, go to envelopes, choose mixer, send A, and draw a spike on just one hit. This is killer on jungle breaks. Throw the spring on a single ghost note and suddenly the whole break feels like it's being mixed on a desk. Method 3 is a pro routing trick, a dedicated throw track. Create an audio track called Spring Sender. Set audio from to your source track. Post FX. Set monitor to in. Now you automate sends from this throw track, not the main channel. Your main track stays clean and mix stable, and your throw automation becomes a separate performance lane. Quick extra coach note, decide if your sends are post fader or pre fader. Post fader is normal mixing. The throw follows the dry level. Pre fader is classic dub. You can pull the source fader down and the spring keeps ringing, like mute to verb. In live, you can set this per return in the sends section. Try it at least once, because it instantly feels like a dub console. Next, tune the return to your track. Yes, even for drums, spring resonances can clash with the key center, especially when your bass is strong and your mix is dense. Two fast ways. 1. EQ 8 notch sweep. Add a tight bell with Q around 6 to 12. Boost it hard, like plus 8 dB. Then sweep from 600 Hz to 3k until the ring jumps out and annoys you. Then flip that boost into a cut, minus 4 to minus 10 dB. Instantly cleaner. 2. Treat the auto filter bandpass frequency like a tone knob. You're not literally tuning it to a note, but you are choosing where the energy lives. If your track is in F minor, you might find the spring feels best emphasizing somewhere around 1k to 1.5k, depending on the source. The exact number is less important than the idea. Make the spring complement the music, not argue with it. Now some arrangement ideas you can steal immediately. Do a two-bar punctuation. Throw return A on the last snare every two bars. It's a simple pattern that makes the loop feel mixed, not just programmed. Pre-drop tease. Automate return B send on a vocal chop or pad only in the last two bars, before the drop, Then pull it back right at the drop so the drop hits dry and huge. Call and response with base stabs. Keep the call stab dry. Spring the answer stab. That contrast reads as intention. For jungle break spice, throw the spring on one rearranged snare slice or hat pickup. One hit is enough. Common mistakes to avoid while you're dialing this in. Don't leave the send on constantly. Moments, not blankets. Don't skip the high pass before reverb. Low end into reverb kills rolling clarity. Don't make your drum spring super wide. Wide throws can make the snare feel disconnected from the center groove. Keep throws narrower. Make the wash wide. Don't run too long a decay at 174. If the tail overlaps everything, the groove gets smeared. And don't forget ducking. If the spring doesn't move out of the kick and snare's way, it will always feel like it's sitting on top of your drums instead of behind them. Now let's go a little darker and heavier with pro tips. If you want more aggression, add drum bus after saturator on return A. Drive maybe 5 to 15%, crunch 5 to 20%, boom off. You're not adding low end, you're adding attitude. If you want the center punchy and the sides controlled, try a mid-only spring approach. Put a Q8 in mid-side mode. Keep the spring energy in the mid, and high pass the sides more aggressively, like 600 Hz, or tame harsh highs on the side channel. The result is a mix that feels wide, but still focused. For a tapish, crusty damping, put redux very subtly before saturation, maybe 12 to 14 bit, tiny downsample. Then saturate. It gives you that darker, worn spring without fizzy top. Also try snare-triggered ducking instead of kick. In a lot of rollers, the snare is the anchor. Ducking the spring with the snare keeps the backbeat clean while letting offbeat textures breathe. And one of the most effective dub moves in Ableton. Automate the return's auto-filter frequency during fills. A rising band pass into the drop is pure dub technique, and it works insanely well in minimal DNB. Let's lock it in with a practice exercise. Make a 16-bar loop. Load a typical DNB kit. Kick, snare, hats, and a shuffled break layer. Build return exactly as we did. Then program your throws like this. Bars 1 through 8. Spring throw on every fourth snare only. Bars 9 through 12. Add one random ghost note or hat spring throw per bar. Bars 13 through 16. Automate the band pass frequency on return to rise slightly and increase the send into the pre-drop fill. Render it quickly and listen back. This audio version is shortened for playback.